I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to our Unfeatured Articles ASMR. I'm James Keir.
I'm Anna Flannery.
I don't get a little bit. Why don't I get this face?
ASMR. It's called ASMR for a reason. You gotta be quiet. And this is Unfeatured Articles.
Hello and welcome to Unfeatured Articles, the smoothest, sexiest podcast in your feed. Each week we go into all the weirdest and the wackiest and the most obscure of Wikipedia. We dredge up all of those articles and talk about them. I'm your host, James Keir, and joining me, as always, is the fearless Hannah Flannery.
Hello!
And the wonderful Curtis Lang.
Oh, thank you. It's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yes, well, you deserve it.
Thank you.
You are a wonderful boy.
Hey, guys. Today, I am behind the desk, yeah. And I've got control of the soundboard.
That's
there
it.
We
too
go.
Much?
A little, yeah. Just a little bit. Okay. But that's good because we get it all out now.
Yeah, cool.
So that we tone it down.
Yeah.
Oh, the rest, you.
We just kind
ye
of.
Ye of little faith.
Expecting like
just
little,
gonna hope that
Curtis little
to
know.
Just going to hope that Curtis gets access to the
soundboard. Yeah.
I'm so glad that I'm going to lose my hearing so
oh,
early
great.
In life.
Exactly. It's
absolutely.
Good. Hannah, do you have an article?
I have an article.
No, wait, what do we do? I'm sorry I distracted
I told
us all.
You.
But
we
no,
go
you
to Wikipedia. Okay, we're going to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
There's a site called wikipedia.org. And we go in there, and we talk about articles. And sometimes we do a little bit.
Sometimes we do a little bit ASMR.
Now, what's your article? My article.
No,
we
no,
can talk.
Stop
we can
that.
Talk normal now.
Okay. Yeah. I've got a good one. Every word of this article is golden.
Amazing.
Yeah. Dinosaur erotica.
Yes.
That's the no. You've ruined it.
Okay, try it again.
Dinosaur erotica. All right, okay.
That's like
the meteor
rocks.
Hitting
yeah.
the earth.
All right, you want one more try?
Dinosaur erotica.
All right.
I didn't do it because I felt like it was the basic
Curtis.
Choice.
Wow, thank you so much.
I'll take it.
All right, dinosaur erotica, part of the larger genre of monster erotica, is a subgenre of erotic literature that involves sexual encounters between humans and dinosaurs.
Oh, it's humans.
Don't
it's
you take this gorgeous article away
yeah.
from me. Don't you dare.
We diminish it. Every sound diminishes the effect of this. Exactly. That's exactly what happens when you play more sounds.
Works include titles such as Taken by the T-Rex, Ravished by Triceratops, and A Billionaire Dinosaur Forced to Be Gay.
Can I ask, before we continue going?
Yes.
Is any of this involved with a man named Chuck Tingle?
I think so. Wait, hang on. Oh. Yes, it is.
Okay,
it does
good. All right. I'm in the right.
I'd love to have a little conversation about why you know about this later
oh,
on,
mate.
If that's all right, mate. But,
the lord of erotica, Chuck Tingle, and his fantastic, beautiful Amazon e-books are well documented. So please.
Works of dinosaur erotica tend to be self-published short stories and often focus on common themes such as prehistoric female hunters who save their tribes from threatening male dinosaurs by having sex with them.
Oh, Jesus.
According to Professor Clarissa Smith of the University of Sunderland, who co-edits the journal Porn Studies, dinosaur erotica is essentially an appeal to sexual fantasies. Quote, "The idea of having sex with a dinosaur is outside the realms of possibility. It's a bit like magic where all the rules become suspended. And for that reason, we may well allow for kinds of imaginative risk-taking impossible in more standard couplings."
I love that I had to hear this professor say that dinosaur
yeah.
sex is like magic.
She's
that's very good.
She's
It's actually one of the skills that Link acquires
what she's
in
a professor
Breath of the Wild.
In. Doesn't say what she's a professor in, so that's only assume it's dinosaur porn.
Strictly dinosaur porn.
Noted authors of the dinosaur erotica include Christy Sims, Lara Branwen, Pippa Pout, Chuck Tingle.
There he is.
And Hunter Fox.
There's so much more than I expect. There's so many more authors of this content than I expected there to be.
And squads like the Avengers of dinosaur porn. Big names.
Yeah.
My goodness. The genre was pioneered by Sims and Branwen, who were at Texas A&M University together. Sims' author biography claims that while my outward tastes are relatively simple, my inner thoughts are filled with lusty thoughts of big, strong, powerful monsters having their way with beautiful maidens. Mm-hmm. End quote.
End quote.
Her co-author Alara Branwen describes their source of inspiration in rather more mundane terms. She was working in a supermarket to help pay her bills when a co-worker mentioned how people were publishing fiction online and suggested that she should try writing erotica. After researching what sold well, she decided to experiment with the subgenre of monster erotica. Her first story, Doing the Dragon, which involved a dragon having sex with a human girl, was a success, and she was soon earning so much money that she quit her supermarket job, went part-time at college, so she could focus full-time on writing erotica.
Oh, wow. She came at it strictly from the money point of view, which is not how I would have expected.
No.
Like, surely they'd do it for the passion of it.
Surely. But one day, thinking about the movie Jurassic Park, she pictured having dinosaurs having their way with women. I died laughing. I was about to dismiss these thoughts as the working of my freaky mind, but then had an epiphany.
I'm so crazy. I'm so messed up. Oh my God.
Other subgenres that the two have tackled: dragon beast erotica, centaur erotica, and dinosaur beast mating erotica. Yep.
Yummy.
Just the whole spread.
Yeah.
Everyone's there.
While Sims and Branwen's titles focus on heterosexual sex, gay dinosaur erotica also exists.
Mm-hmm. The billionaire who got forced to be gay.
Yeah. The Guardian's columnist Damien Walter has published a review of Hunter Fox's short story, A Billionaire Dinosaur Forced Me Gay.
Good.
The review comments that the book has no intrinsic redeeming qualities. It is horribly written, morally questionable, even the sex in it seems like an afterthought. It's the Kardashian of crappy erotica. Nonetheless, its mere success gives it meaning and appeal. The title alone is delightful, tapping into deep-seated cynicism about post-Fifty Shades erotica in today's publishing industry. Yep.
Incredible.
That's it.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Dinosaur erotica.
I love it. I have now just like a full backlog of stuff that I didn't even know existed.
James has just added a couple of books to his to read pile.
To my Kindle, just kind of get it up on
there. Billionaire Dinosaur Forced Me Gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Curtis, before we started, you looked like you have a button to push.
No, I'll do it at the time is right.
I'm prepping.
Yeah.
He's got his finger over like the big red button in every like war film.
Yeah.
tread softly, James.
Before we started recording this one, you were like, you kind of warned us about your article this week.
Yeah.
About what is it? Like disgusting or scary or what is it?
I've decided not to do that one because I didn't think the tone of the episode suited it.
No, well, I mean.
Oh, have I ruined it with the dinosaur erotica?
It was dinosaur erotica. No.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
I've decided it's not the right time to do this article because I just think this is a family-friendly podcast sometimes. In some episodes, we just have to choose what articles we're going to do and what articles we're not going to do. And that's why I think you guys are my golden girls.
He didn't hear a word of my article. He's been trying to set up this joke for the last 10 minutes.
It took me longer than I'm proud of.
Good.
Worth it.
Thank you.
I'm glad it worked out in your favor.
This goes for 42 seconds, so we're riding this one out.
Okay.
Okay.
In all honesty, though, how good would us as, it's done, as the Golden Girls be? It'd be great.
Can I be Betty White?
Yeah, God, you can.
Cool.
Can I be the other ones?
Yes. See, that's the thing, is I don't know any other Golden Girls other than Betty White, I kind of swooped in there.
I don't want to like...
What if we were the Golden Girls along?
Don't do it again. I thought you were going to do the full song. No!
Will you bring that down right now?
Bring that down. Young man. Young man, you better hear that again. Get to the count of three. Yeah. You're a pal and a confidant.
Hey guys, can we replace the theme song of our show with the Golden Girls theme?
I would love that.
Legally?
Yeah.
Legally,
probably not. Ah. If we speak over it, sure.
Surely. It's fair use.
Anyway, I will do my article
yes,
now.
Yes, please.
Okay.
But I've changed it. I'll do the fucked one next week.
All right.
Because it's probably fucked. Just a little teaser for you all. So I'm going to do an article which is about the most ridiculous sentence in the English language.
Ooh.
And is proof of how stupid, how versatile, but how stupid and needless the English language is.
Sure.
So, and this is an actual sentence that makes grammatical, punctuation, and spelling sense. Like, it's all proper English.
Yeah.
All right. James while John had a better effect on the teacher.
Mm.
Yep.
I feel like I just had a stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually, he only said had once, and we just had a glitch in the audio of the podcast.
Okay, so it's got the proper inflections here that I'm meant to use.
Okay.
James, while John had a better effect on the teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had.
I got nothing.
Okay, so. Yep. We're going to, by the end of
Let's
this article,
this down.
We're going to know how to say this sentence properly and what it fucking means.
Sure.
It's at the moment. Homework? Are you kidding
I've got
me?
No idea. It's not homework. We're here. We're at work. Calling this work is a fucking stretch of the word. But James, while John had a better effect on the teacher, is an English sentence used to demonstrate lexical ambiguity and the necessity of punctuation, which serves as a substitute for the intonation, stress, and pauses found in speech.
Okay.
So I was wrong. There is no punctuation in the sentence.
Oh,
but so it is used as, but it's still proper English.
Flex.
But it is like, yeah, it is used as a demonstration why punctuation is needed so that we don't have to do these. Like, yep. Weird kind of,
Trump's
yeah.
Starting.
Can I get a numerical count of how many hads are in
yeah,
there?
Yeah, how many hads?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11.
11 hads.
11 hads.
I would argue that's too many.
Yeah.
A lot of hads.
But I believe, as we're going to get down to later, two of them are actually had-had.
Had-had, as in had-had. Sing
something. Apparently,
word,
apparently I think had-had might be something.
Oh, okay. Oh,
like,
oh, I see.
Ooh. Had-had.
Sure. Kind of, but in the way that, like, you know, like buffalo, 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 buffalo.
Yeah, that,
like,
that was the other one of this that I was tempted to do. But this one made me giggle. Also, it's got your name in it.
It does.
In human information processing research, the sentence has been used to show how readers depend on punctuation to give sentences meaning. Don't drink my Coke, Hannah. Thank you.
Caught
especially
out.
In the context of scanning across lines of text. You can have a sip if you want.
Okay.
The sentence is sometimes presented as a puzzle where the solver must add the punctuation.
Ah.
Yeah.
Sure.
It refers to two students, James and John.
Yeah.
Required by an English teacher to test... By an English test, sorry, to describe a man who has suffered from a cold in the past. John writes, the man had a cold, which the teacher marks incorrect, while James writes, the man had a cold. Since James' answer was right, it had a better effect on the teacher.
Oh, so John's had a better effect on the teacher. Okay,
some quotation marks.
The sentence is much easier to understand without a punctuation and emphasis. So, James, while John had a much better effect on the teacher.
Yeah.
Still sounds like I'm having a fucking
stroke. So James had while, but while James had, John's had a better effect on the teacher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I get it.
In each of the five had word pairs in the above sentence, the first of the pair is the past perfect form. The italicized instances denote emphasis of intonation, focusing on the differences in the student's answers, then finally identifying the correct one.
Yeah.
So when I'm reading the sentence, you can hear the italicized words when I go, had.
Yeah.
Had. I know, because this is not a visual medium.
Had.
So, yeah, the sentence is also used to show the semantic vagueness of the word had, as well as to demonstrate the difference between using a word and mentioning a word.
Yeah.
It's also been used to, as an example of the complexities of language, its interpretation, and their effect on persons' perceptions. For the syntactic structure to be clear to the reader, this sentence requires, at a minimum, that the two phrases be separate by using a semicolon, period, end dash, or em dash.
Yeah.
Still, Jasper Ford's novel, The Well of Lost Souls, employs a variation of the phrase to illustrate the confusion that may arise even from well-punctuated writing.
Ooh.
Okay, said the bellman. So this is from the book.
Okay.
Okay, said the bellman, whose head was in danger of falling apart like a chocolate orange.
Huh.
Let me get this straight. David Copperfield, unlike Pilgrim's Progress, which had TGC's approval. So that's the sentence in the book.
In the book.
The Well of Lost Plot. So yeah, that is, that was a short one. So I'll quickly just have a look at Buffalo.
Long in the sense of the hads.
Yeah.
Long, more hads than so, usual.
Reasonable.
Buffalo is a grammatically correct sentence in American English. Often presented an example of how homonymous and homophones can be used to create complicated linguistic constructs through lexical ambiguity. Lexical ambiguity sounds like a fun time.
Yes.
The sentence employs three distinct meanings of the word buffalo. As a proper noun, to refer to the specific place Buffalo in New York. As a verb, uncommular in regular usage, to buffalo, meaning to bully, harass, intimidate, or to baffle.
Mm.
As a noun, to refer to the animal or a bison.
Yeah.
The plural is also buffalo. More easily decoded, though semantically equivalent, would be bison from Buffalo, the other bison from Buffalo, bully themselves, bully bison from Buffalo.
Yeah. It, even that is like
even not, that is just a fuck sentence.
Not the
yeah.
most.
Anyway, so that's that's stupid English. Hannah, stupid can you pass English. Me my Coke?
Yeah,
thank you. Oh,
it's Coke
welcome
time.
To my ASMR.
I'm like the only.
Oh, that didn't Argentine do anything. Hang on. Fizz.
Oh, hang on. Let me.
Wait. Shh. Fizz. Nice,
James.
Yep,
James, you got an article, mate.
I do have an article. Oh, no, he's done it again.
Turn it down.
Going back again.
I can't wait to get copyright.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get slammed.
As long as we speak over it, it's fine, actually.
Yeah. So, mine.
Yes?
You're looking at each other. No eye contact on this point.
God!
It's just a funny.
Stop it.
It's just a funny.
Stop it.
Fine, okay.
The talking over the music is just 100% us just shrieking in pain.
Yeah.
Stop!
All right. James. So, the year is 1986.
Sorry, I'm just I'm just turning the volume up to check it's over.
All right, we're good. The Chernobyl disaster, right?
The Chernobyl.
You know,
Chernobyl.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you said the show Nobel. You know the show Nobel.
This Nobel show.
It was a disaster.
No, the Chernobyl power plant disaster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happened in 1986, and so it happened in I think like April of 86.
Yeah,
and then in December. As these sort of scientists were kind of digging through all the rubble in their hazmat suits, looking for, you know, radiation and what the situation was, they discovered beneath reactor 4 of the power plant, under reactor room 217, was a thing now called Elephant's Foot. I would have preferred
that was not
more
good.
Okay, can you try again?
Yeah.
The tone, man.
Read the room. Elephant's Foot. Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
That's good.
Okay. I'll accept that.
Yeah. So, what is Elephant's Foot?
This what is it?
Is basically they walked into this room, right? Or they didn't walk in because for reasons I'll explain later. But what they saw was the solidified remains of the reactor core and the fuel rods, which is fused together and melted their way down through the floors of the power station. It's hot, it's extremely radioactive, and it's made of uranium isotopes, plutonium, cesium, and other deadly debris. Essentially, the thing is, if you look at this thing for 5 minutes, you will die.
If you look at it.
The way it works is, after 30 seconds of exposure, dizziness and fatigue will be with you for a week. 2 minutes of exposure and your cells will begin to hemorrhage. 4 minutes, vomiting, diarrhea, and fever. 300 seconds exposed to this thing and you have 2 days to live. I've got a photo of it here. It's essentially just this big, like, goop.
Oh.
This big thing of goop inside the room. And even you'll notice with the picture.
Fuck.
The way there are people in the picture, but the way that they're presented is kind of like ghost-like and ethereal because the film itself, when taking this photo, was like corrupted because like you just can't have things in the space of this extremely radioactive thing.
Dang.
The elephant's foot, was approximately, in 1986, the radiation level was approximately 8,000 roentgens, which is like units of radiation per hour, delivering a lethal dose of radiation in just 5 minutes.
In 1 hour, the elephant's foot would expose you to the radiation of over 4.5 million chest x-rays.
Yikes.
It's comprised of, like, all the things I said earlier, a small percentage of fuel, this melted core of, like, concrete, sand, and core shielding. So what they did was, a few years later, they knew this thing existed. It was, like, just, like, there, and no one could get near it.
Well, yeah. I'm just going to leave that there.
So they shot it with a rifle.
How'd that go?
Why?
to get a chunk of it. They were like, we need to get some for research. So they literally shot it with a Kalashnikov rifle till a chunk came away.
Kalashnikov rifle, by the way, is a Russian version of an AK-47.
Pretty much.
Kalashnikov.
So they just see this big...
powerful gun. Like, yeah.
Kalashnikov.
They see Kalashnikov. This big thing that they can't stand in front of for more than 5 minutes.
So they shot it with a gun.
Shoot it with a gun.
Fuck.
I'm like,
this is Russia.
Yeah. It's
fuck that rock. This is Russia.
Pretty much. I imagine that's what the scientists said. For Russia. And then just shoot the
hang on.
Big
where is Chernobyl?
Mouse. Chernobyl is in Russia.
You sure? I feel like it might.
Ooh.
I don't think it is.
Oh,
it's
no. What have we done?
Is it?
It's in Ukraine. Yeah.
Ah.
So it wasn't the Soviet Union when it happened.
Fine. It counts. It counts.
But technically in Ukraine.
Is the elephant, is it solid? Because in the picture it looked like a big molten...
It is solid. So basically it like melted through and then just like solidified. Thumped. Yeah.
Okay.
So still, well, from... obviously still radioactive because things stay radioactive for fucking ever.
Yeah.
But like, is it still as like deadly?
Yes, I believe so. It's not kind of as... radioactive as it was the year it was kind of created, but it's still there. It's still radioactive. There is this article from Nautilus I'll just read like the paragraph.
Yeah.
Kyle Hill says, born of human error, continually generating copious heat, the elephant's foot is still melting into the base of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. If it hits groundwater, it could trigger another catastrophic explosion or leach radioactive material into the water nearby residents' drink.
Shit.
Long after bleeding from the core, this unique piece of waste continues to be a testament to the potential dangers of nuclear power. The elephant's foot will be there for centuries, sitting in the dark basement of a concrete and steel sarcophagus, a symbol of one of humankind's most powerful tools gone awry. So literally, it is the most toxic thing in the world at the moment.
That's
and it's
fucked.
Just in a,
and it's just sitting in the basement.
Just as of 20, like, not going to touch that.
Yeah,
again.
not gonna
as of 2019, there are fears that it may penetrate deeper into the grounds and come into contact with groundwater, causing a new round of Chernobyl-related illnesses and deaths.
The saga continues.
Fuck.
Chernobyl 2.
Yeah. Dang.
Radioactive foot glue.
Oh, that's fucked, man.
That's mess.
It's so crazy.
So in that photo.
Yeah.
All those dudes in that photo are dead, correct?
I don't know.
They're wearing radioactive suits.
They are wearing radioactive suits.
But like,
I'm assuming they're not looking at it.
That is a very radioactive.
Yeah. Why looking at it?
It's just like exposure. So like...
Right. So being near it at all.
Being near it at all.
But like if you look at it through like a radioactive proof...
I assume so. But also like the way... Because in the article, we'll link it, it breaks down how... sort of this radioactive stuff works.
Yeah.
And it just sort of, it describes it as this deadly game of Red Rover where like it's with your DNA, it just like penetrates through the air to like get into your DNA and just like break your DNA apart.
That's far.
It's mess.
It's a malicious elephant foot.
Yeah.
I want to touch it.
Right?
Like, the picture? I'm like, ah, hell
touchy,
yeah.
Touchy, touchy.
But not good. I will not imagine those dragons.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you're back.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I want to touch it. Let me touch the radioactive...
No one's stopping you, dude. Go to Ukraine now.
Go do it.
And touch the goop. Both of these boys are just staring at their computers in shock.
Quickly after the Chernobyl meltdown, nearly 600,000 workers descended on the site to help contain the escaping radiation. Knowingly or not, many of these workers were making the greatest sacrifice. More than 30 of them died within months following the incident, with many thousands more getting a full lifetime's dose of radiation, which is sure to cause a significant increase in cancer rates. So yeah, you're probably right. The person in that photo is either dead or just like
not doing
severely
good.
Radiated.
I don't think anyone from Chernobyl is doing good.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's very
for,
fair.
Like, ever if that boy, bad boy, hits the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, they tried, they made this, like, big concrete sarcophagus to, like, withhold everything in the power plant. Yeah. But then I think it, like, broke.
Because it's, like, that bad that it's still going it's to terrible. This day. Yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, that's mine.
Thanks. I'm sad now.
Yes.
All so right.
We had dinosaur erotic.
Yeah. I feel like an arsehole now. I was like, dinosaur porn. And James is like, people are dying.
People are dying, Hannah.
Yeah. I had dinosaur porn, dinosaur erotica.
Curtis had.
My teacher liked it more than James's gym.
Had.
Yeah.
Had. And.
And I had the elephant's foot.
Alrighty.
Curtis, you rarely start the vote. Who do you vote for?
I do. It's actually my tactical game to make you guys vote for me.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I assumed this was... I was like, I had that in the back of my mind. I was like, he wouldn't be that manipulative. He would be.
Yeah. No, it only occurred to me like two episodes. I was like, oh, yeah, this is working. No, I'm going to vote for... Sorry, Han. I quite like the elephant's foot. I think that's quite interesting. I don't think it's necessarily featured
that's
either.
Fine.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I was going to vote for the elephant's foot as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Mm. And how about you, Jim?
I was going to go to the dino boning.
Dino boning?
Yeah.
Well, have a bit of respect.
Billionaire dinosaur. Force me again.
Anyway, guys, that's been our featured articles.
Thank you for
thanks for coming on the show, guys. It's been a pleasure to have you here. I'm so glad you've been.
I'm leaving. I'm out.
Thanks,
I'm
guys.
Oh, my
bye.
God. Really? That's the end of the show?
Friends.
Wow.
Pugatory and friends. Goodbye.
All right. James has left, so I'm going to... Hannah's going as well. All right. Well, it's just because Curtis Lang out. No, I'm going to wrap up the podcast now. You two aren't allowed to come back. Look, we have socials. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us under Unfeatured Articles on most of those. Twitter is Unfeatured Pod. We are lovingly hosted by the That's Not Canon Productions network. You can find them at thatsnotcanonproductions.com. All of their other podcasts, such as Murder in the Land of Oz, Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, Second Take, My Songs Suck, 1 Mile. Even they can be found on the website. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time, browse responsibly.
No. Browse responsibly.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Leave that in.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.